There's a couple of sayings that tell us success is nothing unless you have someone you truly love to share it with. And the second saying is misery loves company. Both of these sayings tell us that as people in general, we don't like to be alone. Can I hear an amen in the crowd? We desire someone with whom we can share our ups and our downs, our successes and our failures, our pleasures and our pain. Can this person identify with me? Can they relate to me in this moment or in this season? Well, as we look at today's passage, we'll see that in her relative Elizabeth, Mary found such a person, and truth be told, Mary didn't find her. God revealed her. Immediately after the angel Gabriel had visited Mary and told her that she would have a baby, and his name would be Jesus, he told her that Elizabeth was with child as well, and that meant her pregnancy was just as miraculous as Mary's. In addition, as a promised bride, who better to go and hang out with than a priest and his wife who were blameless before God, right? Mary found in her relatives someone who could rejoice and fellowship with her, as well as someone she could assist. When you look to fill the needs of others, and this saying has been out there for a long time, and it's not just a saying. I know that it's a truth, that when you look to fill the needs of others, your needs get met. Amen? Aloneness never fulfills what God has called us to be in His church. Let me ask you a really open, honest question. Is anybody in this room feeling really alone? Amen. Understand this important truth. When no one else is around, you are not alone. The presence of God is always with you. The only way that the presence of God is not with you is if you, on purpose, try to remove yourself from His presence. Amen? There's a fellowship here. There's a sweet fellowship in the church. And Romans 12, 15 kind of talks about how we are here at Mountain Valley Church of God. We mourn with those who mourn, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And the good news is we all have a singular reason to rejoice together. Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, and He has saved us from our sin. Or maybe He hasn't yet. And that is something that you might be seeking to find today, is total separation unto God alone. Equal important, we have a singular reason to mourn, either the loss of a dear loved one or someone that we know who doesn't acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We have reasons to mourn as well as we have reasons to rejoice. The title of today's message is Rejoicing in Fellowship. Rejoicing in Fellowship. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. If you'll take out your bulletins, and inside I've got that written up for you. We're also going to look at verses 56 and 57. Because it also shows other rejoicing and fellowship. So Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Read this with me if you would, please. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. And at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Oh, you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Then Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. So I've got there in italics, think of ways that Elizabeth and Mary had fellowship. Can you think of ways that Elizabeth and Mary would have fellowship? What would they have in union with each other? The miraculous, right? They're both miraculously impregnated. They both are bearing a child. And who has given them this gift? God. And Mary, right after this news, and this is one of those things that As I was studying this week, I was thinking about the timeline of all these events. And there isn't anything to really tell you one way and or the other how it all came down. Because we know that in Matthew it records for us the fact that Joseph, when he found out that Mary was pregnant, that he was going to secretly do what? Divorce her, right? Well, if a woman is just newly pregnant, will you always be able to tell it? No. So as I'm reading this scripture, it's like God opened up this thought to me. He says, what if after the angel Gabriel tells Mary this wonderful news that she is pregnant and going to conceive of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Messiah that the Jews had long awaited for, that she, with that news, took off to go see her friend Elizabeth and Zechariah. Now, why these two people in particular would Mary maybe feel like that she could go and have confidence in? Well, number one, because Zechariah was a priest before the Lord. And he prepared the ceremonial incense for people to offer up their prayers before the Lord. He was a priest. And Elizabeth, his wife, the Bible tells us, both of them walked blamelessly before the Lord. Now, I'll tell you what, if I'm going through some trying times, do I want to go hang out with the guys at the bar? Or do I want to try to get some inspiration from someone who will help build me up and lift me up in the truth of God's Word? Which one are we going to seek out, honestly? You know, and so this is what Mary was about. You know, Mary's got to be just trembling with all sorts of issues in her mind. She's got all sorts of questions. And who better to go and confer with than a priest in the temple of the Lord God Almighty? Zechariah, maybe you could answer some questions for me. This child that Gabriel, the angel, the servant of God, the one who stands before God. Oh, that's right. You know about him. That's right, Zechariah. You're mute. You can't really answer my questions. Well, okay, Elizabeth, because we know behind every successful man, there is a woman, right? Yeah, I did have to say that because it's truth. You know, men, we do not rocket our own ship. What moves us along in life is the guidance of our dear, tender wives. Amen? And many times our ship gets off. I'm not going to go there. Anyway. So, Mary goes and notice that this passage that we read said she came in and she greets Elizabeth. Doesn't say that she greeted Zechariah, and yet it's Zechariah's home. But what does it say? She greeted Elizabeth. Right? And so the two of them begin conferring. Now understand, Elizabeth is now 6 months along in her pregnancy. Ladies, you can help me out with this because I have never carried a child. But at 6 months, you're showing, and how's your balance? How's your back trying to get up? Huh? Right? You've got this extra load out here that, you know, kind of takes away your balance, doesn't it? Kind of gives a little bit of a test to your muscles, right? Think about Elizabeth. Elizabeth is an elderly woman and mother. She was barren before this. She was way past, as Zechariah announced to Gabriel, the angel, he says, my wife is way past the ability or the age of conceiving. What are you thinking about? And Gabriel goes, mute. Don't you know who I am? And if I tell you that this is what's going to happen, why don't you, as a priest, have faith that God can do anything God says he will do? Why do we doubt? If God says, if you ask forgiveness, that he will take your sin away, then why do we go back and dabble in our sin as if it still has power over us? Because we are not living in the power of God's word that says we are to live sinless. And we go, what? Oh, come on, Pastor. Let's get real. That's impossible in our world today. No, it is not. It is not impossible to live sinless in our world today. Because sin is willing disobedience to God. Okay? It's not the temptations that come along that make you blow it every once in a while. No. Sin is willful disobedience to the truth of God's word that you have within you. If you know the truth and you deny it, that is sin. If you live contrary to the truth that you know, that you have read, that you have dwelt upon and said, I am a follower of Christ, if you live contrary to that truth, you are a what? Sinner. And the writer of Hebrews says, once you have been enlightened about the truth of God's word, and yet you continue to live out in sin, that there is no further sacrifice for you. Why? Because you have belittled the life and blood of Jesus Christ. Think about it. Think of ways that Elizabeth and Mary had fellowship. Well, they're two women. They're pregnant. Elizabeth is 6 months along, which means as an elderly woman having a baby, she would need some assistance, some help. Now, Mary, by her own admission, comes and, well, she didn't even have to admit it, did she? As soon as she greeted Elizabeth, what happened? The baby lapped. And what's more important than the baby leaping, because we know babies kick in our womb, right? You know, in fact, that's kind of the fun thing. Oh, it kicked. You know, oh, feel that, you know. And I've been in awe of that. But besides the baby leaping in the womb, what else happened? Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, thus fulfilling the prophecy that the angel gave to Zechariah when he said, "Your son, whose name will be John, will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." You see, Mary didn't have to announce anything. Mary just greeted Elizabeth. "Hi, Elizabeth." Boom, baby leaps. The Holy Spirit comes over Elizabeth. And what does Elizabeth do? What does it say? What is a glad cry? Woo! Right? What's a glad cry? Because Elizabeth gave one of those out. She gave a glad cry. Woo! Whoa! Did you see that baby leap in my belly? Wow! Mary! God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. You see, immediately as the infilling of the Holy Spirit comes, the gift of prophecy, where Elizabeth already knows this woman is blessed above all other women, and your child is blessed. And then listen to the next truth that she proclaims. "Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord..." You see, Jesus hasn't even been born yet. He's just in the beginning stages of development. And Elizabeth is already calling him her Lord. Woo! "Why is the mother of my Lord visiting me? That when I heard your greeting, my baby that's in my womb jumped for joy." There is rejoicing in their fellowship with one another. There is joy in the connection of one woman to another who has been touched by the presence of God Almighty. You are blessed because of what? Because Mary believed that the Lord would do what he said. You think Mary needed to hear these words? Yes. Last week I talked about the fact that she was a kalah, that she was promised to be in marriage to Joseph, a carpenter, right? And so her being pregnant would put that marriage agreement into danger. And so Mary needed to have the comfort that Elizabeth would give her, but not only the comfort, the encouragement. "Oh, Mary, you're going to be blessed above all, and that child of yours is going to be blessed as well." Aren't these the kind of words that a troubled young woman, betrothed to be married, thinking about, "Wow, man, if Joseph finds out about this, oy vey, there's going to be trouble." Well, maybe as a single mom, and Elizabeth, help me out with this. Can you help me out with the prophecies and the teachings of the Word of God? Is this child supposed to be raised by a single mom? I don't think that God would do that to me. Do you, Elizabeth? "Oh, no, honey. No, take those fears away from you. Trust me, God is going to take care of this." You see, that's why I say that the timeline of all this stuff, you don't know, because when it talks about it in Matthew, it says, "And when Joseph found out that she was with child." Now, go back to the story that we just read, the passage we just read. Mary is with Elizabeth for how long? Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant when Mary comes to visit her. It says in verse 56 at the very beginning of it that in 3 months, then Elizabeth has her baby. And Mary leaves to go back to her people. So, think about this. You are a young mother and you are helping out an older mother to get through her pregnancy and even to be able to stay there and watch, because it says what in the passage? That Elizabeth's friends and relatives. Is Mary a relative? So it might be a little bit of a stretch, but I believe Mary was there to watch the birth in Elizabeth unfold. That she was there to assist this older woman in the birth of John the Baptist. And why would Mary need to have that knowledge, that experience? Well, because we know later on that when Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem in Judea, because that's where Joseph was supposed to be registered as a citizen, that Mary and Joseph were alone in the manger. She had no help. So doesn't it make sense that she would have had some learning from watching the birth take place in Elizabeth? I mean, after all, she did take part in her own birth, but it's not like she came out as a child from the womb going, let me see, let me take notes on how all this happened, you know, right? But as an adult, as a young mother, she's able to watch the process and everything that has to. How many of you have ever watched the birth of a child? Right? Most of us. It is a phenomenal miracle. And it will bring the toughest guy to tears. On the fire department, I helped to deliver a couple of babies out in the field. And I'll tell you what, everything that has to be taken care of and everything that happens during that, I mean, you can read about it in books. But until you experience that stuff live, woo! You know, that's not something that you go back to the fire station and think about and talk about. You know, except that you had the joy of that. I mean, this woman is yelling and screaming at the top of her lungs, trying to put her fingernails deep within your skin to take away the pain that she is feeling while she's giving birth. And she's yelling and screaming. She's sweating like all get out. And all of a sudden, the child just bursts forward. And all that yelling and screaming and sweating is all just erased by the joy of having that child laid upon your chest. And the bonding that then comes between the mother and child. Fellas, you know why we don't get relationships very well? Why women get them better than we do? It's because of those types of connections. The child's never laid on the father's chest. It's always laid on the mother's chest. As she experiences this one that she's been carrying around for 9 months and it's been developing within her body. Now she's physically able to see this thing with five fingers and five toes and two eyes and one nose. And it comes out and though its head is squished all out of place and it's got bloody refuse upon it, you know, the mother looks at the child and she says, what? Oh, she's beautiful. Oh, he's beautiful. You know, and the rest of us are going, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I think that's where that statement finally came from, is that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So, we understand that Elizabeth and Mary, they had fellowship, right? Well, let's look at the Greek word for fellowship. It's koinonia. That's your first fill-in. K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. Koinonia is the Greek word. And it means purposeful fellowship, association, or participation in a special bond with others in Christ. Did Mary and Elizabeth have a special bond in Christ? Well, yeah. As soon as Mary arrived and greeted Elizabeth, there was a union between them automatically that superseded their relations as relatives. And Elizabeth even exclaims that she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she says, "I'm honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me." You see, Christ is what brings us together in purposeful fellowship, in purposeful association, in purposeful participation in what God is doing, because God is always at work. Amen? And our job, people are saying, ask me several times, "Pastor, what's the will of God for me?" Well, the will of God is for you to join the work of God. And the work of God is what? That none should perish, but that all would come to a saving knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, we are to represent Christ in the world. That's our job. His presence has already come. So our job, as those who have been far removed from the event, who still recognize the birth of salvation, the birth of hope, the birth of grace and mercy, all wrapped up into one singular event, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to usher in a whole new point of time for mankind and his relationship to God. It is no longer based upon law, but rather it is based upon grace. Amen. And how many of you are happy about that? So koinonia means purposeful fellowship, purposeful association and participation in a special bond with others in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 says what? God has invited you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Lord. Not just my Lord. He's our Lord. And we have fellowship with one another when we purposely choose to. You know, this morning, as you were getting dressed, as you were thinking about it even last night, you were thinking, you know what? I'm going to get dressed. I'm going to get up. And I'm purposely going to have fellowship with other believers. That's what we do here on a Sunday morning. However, if we look at the first act of believers in Christ, we see that they didn't meet just on Sunday morning, did they? If we look at Acts chapter 2, we see that how often did they meet? Daily. Every day they met.
Oh, I don't know, Pastor. It's such a hard thing to, be about everything in the church.
Why? Because those are your choices. You choose to not associate in those times that we have to study God's Word together and to get to know each other, to fellowship with one another. You're choosing that. Think about it. No one else makes those choices for you as to whether or not you should be involved or not. You do. Why? Listen to this. Jesus was a singular reason why Mary and Elizabeth had a special bond that superseded even family relationship. Let me ask you a personal question. Do you find yourself closer to faithful believers than family members at times? Let me offer one strong reason for that. If you share a personal situation with a family member that is not a believer, they'll usually give you some counsel to the best of their knowledge, whereas if you share the same problem with a believer, they will not only offer you some shared counsel from the Word of God, but they will also offer you prayer. They will take that event that you are wrestling with in your life, and they will take it before the Lord with you. And what does the Word of God talk to you about? It says, wherever two or three agree upon anything on earth, according to the will of God, it will be done. Done. Finished. Taken care of. Right? But how does that happen? When two or three together agree upon something according to the will of God. So, your next fill-in. Koinonia is an intimate, honest response. It's an intimate, honest response to fellowship and participation with Christ and with other believers. Why do I say honest? Well, let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. What does it say? We are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You see, there are some people that I can spiritually, I was wrestling with using naturally, and God spun my tongue around and said, no, there are people that I can spiritually connect with, and there are others that I can only naturally connect with. And which ones would I prefer to connect with? Spiritually. Why? Because there's a greater connection, right, Shauna? Yeah, there's a God connection there. There's something that I know that no matter what I say to you, I'm not out to hurt you. I'm not out to get an advantage over you. But I am there to do what? To build you up, to encourage you, to strengthen your life in Christ. You see, if all you have is just a natural relationship with others in the church, you are missing out on so much. Whereas if you have a spiritual connection with them, then your life as well as theirs is enriched. There is a very well-known saying, you are known by the company you keep. You are known. Let's everybody say it. But you are known by the company you keep. Why? Because who you hang out with and spend the greatest commodity that you possess, which is your time, those that you spend the greatest time with is the greatest indicator of what your life and your values are all about. Amen? Do you understand that? So why wouldn't you want to hang out with more believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, but Pastor, what do you do about those scriptures that say that we're to be out there in the world and we're to be winning others? Well, trust me. In high school, I had my best friend, Steve Young. I can talk about him because he's dead. Well, I could talk about him even if he is alive. But Steve Young was like, well, he is the alcoholic of our school. And for some reason, God put us together. I was the evangelistic youth leader. I wanted everybody to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And God gave me this conquest. God gave me Steve Young to minister to in school. And I didn't understand why. Until a few years later, as all this trying to speak to Steve about my Lord Jesus Christ when he finally had an event in his life, and I, all of a sudden, out of the blue, got a phone call. Hey, Don. Yeah? This is Steve Young. Wait a minute, I got to sit down. This is who? This is Steve Young. Yeah, Steve, wow, haven't heard from you in a long time. What's going on? Well, I had a real incident in my life. I was hospitalized, and in fact, well, I really want to talk to you about it. I'm still in the hospital recovering. But I've had a vision of Jesus. I don't want to tell you anymore. Will you come down and visit me in the hospital? And I said, sure, Steve, where are you? What's going on? And so he told me. And I went down the next day because I was on the fire station that day. I went down the next day to visit my friend Steve. And I said, what's going on, Steve? And he goes, wow. He says, Don, he goes, God revealed to me as I was out in a coma that you have been one of my best friends that I've ever had in my life because you told me about Jesus. But I rejected what you were telling me until in my coma I got a vision of him. And I was going to him, and I felt really, really good about it all. And Jesus just put out his hand, and he says, uh-uh, you're not invited yet because you haven't asked me to be Lord of your life yet. You haven't given me all of you. You've got to go back, and you've got to get that right because I don't want you to go to hell. I was like, wow, wow. And he says, Don, he says, I woke up from my coma. He says, and my sister and my brother-in-law are standing over me and they are praying over me in my bed. He says, my family has wanted me to know the Lord for so long. And he says, I've refused. And he says, I woke up from my coma and I looked at who was praying over me. And he says, I immediately said, pray for me. I need to accept Jesus. And I need to call Tidge. There was such a deeper fellowship that my friend Steve and I had. He was so on fire for the Lord. He spread the testimony about Jesus Christ. He would convince you in a heartbeat that he had been in the presence of Christ and he wanted more of it. Do you? Do you? Or are you so satisfied with just life as it's going on? Oh, I'm just going to experience life and just let it keep going on. Do you want a deeper walk with Christ? Because when you do, he will bring you into such a relationship that you don't need anything of this world. And nothing of this world will satisfy you anymore. Not even the best golf round that you could ever shoot, my friend. Nothing can satisfy your soul like a relationship with God that is true and honest and worthy of all praise and glory. He gave his all for you and for me. Let's give our all for him. You know what I love about looking forward to Sunday mornings is because I know that we're going to gather here to rejoice and praise the Lord. And I know this morning has been kind of a long Sunday morning. Some of you are going, wow, the Baptists have beat us to the restaurant. Well, good. Well, good. You know why? Because now you have more people to share the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with. You've got more time to let this message just kind of sink in and go, where am I honestly at in my relationship with God today? And why am I not more involved with other believers, because that saying is true. You are known by the company you keep. You see, Satan doesn't want you to be in company. He wants you to be alone. He wants you to think that you've got so many so much other stuff that's more important than you showing up on Sunday morning. And yet, you know what you do? You steal a blessing from each and every one of us by you not being here. Just as it's robbed from you as well. Have you been enriched by the truth of God's word today? And are you normally enriched by the truth? And you leave this place and you're pumped up and you're ready to go, right? How many of you just fill up your car once a week? Well, you got a good economy car. Actually, he owns an electric car, so it doesn't matter. No, I'm just teasing. He doesn't go anywhere. None of us, okay, I'll stretch it out. How many of you just fill up your car once a month? Okay. You know, in other words, stop it, Faye. Work with me here, girl. I'm trying to get people to come and fellowship more often. And you know what? If you can't come here and fellowship more often, then guess what? Get together. And you say, well, I don't know if I've got anything in common with anybody else there at the church. Well, let me help strike that barrier down for you this morning, if I can. How many of you are single? Would you please stand up? Okay. Look around. Look around you. You see all these other single people in the church? Get each other's phone numbers. Call each other up. Koinonia is purposeful fellowship with one another. You see, days can just go by and we can say, oh, I'm so busy, I'm so busy. You know what? You're not so busy that you can't just have a phone call with somebody. Or maybe there's some of you that are saying, you know what? Boy, I just wish that I had someone else to just eat a meal with. I'm not trying to wine and dine them and try to become their husband or wife. I just want some company to sit down and have a meal with. Or maybe I want to go do some kind of an activity with. You know, maybe I want to go walk in the mall, or I want to go shopping, or I just want to maybe go to a movie. Go out and have coffee with. Look around you. Get a hold of these people. Thank you. There's another group here that as I think about our church, I think of how many of you are married, but your spouse isn't with you in church. Would you please stand? And your spouse isn't with you in church on a regular basis. I'm sorry. Look around. You're not alone. You see these people? That's a reason for you to be praying for one another. That right there. You know that there are other spouses that aren't attending here with you. And let me ask you a question. Wouldn't that just gladden your heart? To have them with you. Then let's pray for one another. How many of you are married? You better stand up, Mrs. Tidge. Okay? You see, that's probably the greater amount. Well, guess what? You don't have any reason why you shouldn't be fellowshipping with other believers. Because there's a lot of us, right? But what is, you can sit down. But what is koinonia again? I take you back to the very meaning of the word koinonia. Your very first fill-in. Koinonia means what? Purposeful fellowship, association, or participation in a special bond with others in Christ. Are you purposefully getting together with other believers in Christ to study His Word together, to pray together, to lift each other up and encourage one another in your walks? If not, I just want to throw out the question, why? Why? Because in the early church, That's how the church grew. Is people saw people getting together and with gladness of hearts, with rejoicing, with this sharing, and others are watching and they're going, well, I want to be a part of that. I want to have some of that stuff. Or do you just like hanging out with people that will put you down, will constantly be in competition with you, will try to find out something that's wrong with your golf swing, or with, no, I'm not picking on my brother. I'm just, it's something we have in common, and we have shared many a golf round together, and I really enjoy that. But do you like people that are constantly picking on you or people that are building you up? This is a church of people that are here to build you up, to strengthen you, to walk alongside of you in your times of mourning and in your times of rejoicing. Don't excuse yourself from the fellowship, from purposely joining up with others. Instead, make it your purpose to get together. And this church will grow in leaps and bounds. And I'm not talking about numbers-wise. I'm talking spiritually. We will grow. And that's what I'm really looking for. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for a pure and spotless bride. And Pastor, you're getting close to noon. You better shut up. Okay. Well, I just wanted you to endure as my wife has endured 40 years with me this day. And we celebrate 40 years of being together in marriage. And we thank you. And it was a really cool thing last night as we were just talking and having some downtime. And I said, wow, think about half of our marriage has been me as a crazy fireman. And the other half of our marriage has been me as a minister. I said, which guy do you like the most? The one with the remote. Get away from the remote! She said, well, I've definitely enjoyed the guy in the ministry, although it is a lot more stressful. And I said, yeah, it is. But it's also a lot more rewarding. And though, as I look back over my 22-year career in the fire department, and I can honestly say there are a couple of people that are living today because of the skills that the fire department taught me. And I think, I think of a 9-month-old child who was drowned in a pool that I did mouth-to-mouth on and brought him back to life. That made my whole career. Just as in the saving of even one life speaks grandly about my career as a pastor. But I'm greedy because my God is greedy and He wants all to come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Loving Heavenly Father, so empower this army of yours, these children of yours who are blessed because of your presence by the gift of your Holy Spirit that is upon them. Lord, so bless them with the outstanding abilities to see the needs of others and to step in and say, how can I pray for you? How can I encourage you to know my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Lord, open up those doors for us as we desire them to be open, that your kingdom might be multiplied upon this earth. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,